everyone, and welcome back to the Dan Report. I am, as always, John Iadarola. Also, as he basically always is, Brett Ehrlich joins us. Brett, how's it going?
Listen, if I could help but be this way, I would. But the truth is, I can't help but be this way. And so you're going to have to deal with it. Yes, I'm working on self-improvement, but until that takes, my apologies.
Okay, well, you know, we gotta keep pushing throughout our life to get better. Well, not all of us, as we're going to profile throughout the show, including right off the bat. There are some people that only seem to be getting worse with every passing day. In a bit, we're going to start off talking about the growing GOP unity in being against Ukraine. Just they don't like it. They're not interested. They see the compassion rising in the American people and it sickens them to their very core. So we'll talk about that. But along the way, we're going to be talking about a lot of other things, including the right's new argument against Ketanji Brown Jackson. It's a nasty one. Prepare yourself for that. Eric Trump finally gets recognized and gets some presents. We'll show you what those are. Yet another behind the scenes, you're not going to hear much about this, absolute disaster when it comes to COVID medication. Good news on the Crown Act. We do have a little bit of good news in the House. And of course, we will be closing out the show by throwing out our garbage people of the week. So get hyped, everybody. There's a lot coming up. But along the way, if you wouldn't mind hitting the like button and sharing the stream so the people know we're live, that would be a delight. And you can send us comments, tweets, super chats, and all that, and we'll respond as we go. But with all that said, Brett Ehrlich, are you ready to talk about the news?
Whether I am or not, you've been more than fair.
I like it. I like it. Then let's do it. Starting with this.
Send Stinger missiles over to them so they can defend themselves better. But remember that Zelensky is a thug. Remember that the Ukrainian government is incredibly corrupt and it is incredibly evil and it has been pushing woke ideologies and it really does the new woke world.
So you're probably familiar with Madison Cawthorn's commentary earlier this week about Zelensky being bad, their government being bad, and not just for all of the reasons that they've been trying to convince you for some time, but also because they push woke ideologies. And that always has bothered me about the Ukrainian government, them pushing for inclusion and all that. Anyway, look, that's Madison Cawthorn. He's free to think whatever he wants to think, but he's going to put that out there knowing that the vast majority of the American people do not agree with his take on Ukraine or on Zelensky personally. What's interesting, though, is that there weren't really any consequences for it. He put out this incredibly, I think, noteworthy comment about someone who has the support of the vast majority of the human species. And perhaps because of that, you're starting to see a lot more on the right line up. Marjorie Greene, Candace Owens, and others. We're going to run you through it. I think, and we've been talking about this for a few weeks now, that the right has struggled from even before the invasion began to figure out what is their take supposed to be? What are they supposed to say that their base will crave and that will allow them to put themselves in opposition to Biden and the Democrats? Because they can't just agree that an invasion of a sovereign state like Ukraine is bad, that killing civilians is bad. They can't agree with the hated Democrats. And so they found something else. Now, Madison Cawthorn's comments that you just saw there have been played apparently on repeat on Russian state TV. You can see reporter Ralph Sanchez, who is has on Twitter a little excerpt of that. But that's not the first time this has happened during this conflict. Media Matters has already profiled the Putin Fox feedback loop. They love Tucker Carlson's commentary. They're encouraging their stations to play it as much as possible. Just earlier today, Russian Foreign Minister Sergey Lavrov praised Fox News as alone amongst Western media in, quote, trying to represent some alternative points of view. And look, it's not just that Madison Cawthorn hasn't been criticized very much. I mean, take a look at this. Nick Fuentes, of all people, thinks that Madison Cawthorn, who he criticizes on other things, is brave and bold for calling Zelensky a thug. Someone being called a thug is one of the main ways that Nick Fuentes is able to achieve an erection, by the way. In any event,
nailed it, Johnny Pie.
So many more piling on that we're going to turn to in just a second. But Brett Ehrlich, what do you think about this? Have they found their line?
It's weird that you say that's the only way Nick Fuentes can get an erection. Man's an incel. Anything gives him an erection. And that's the problem. If he would but do something about it. Anyways, yes, this is amazing. This is an opportunity to point out the differences. And I hate the term Overton window, as you well know. But like, it is basically what people are allowed to talk about with without horrible consequences. Like, what is it okay to talk about? What are people talking about in politics? And it's more specific than that, but that's basically your takeaway. But the truth is, like, Madison Cawthorn is different from Charlie Kirk. He's different from Ben Shapiro. Candace Owens is verging into that territory, but like there is massive separation on the right over this. So when you hear people like Madison Cawthorn, sadly, they are becoming less crazy by comparison to the average right person, but they're still wildly insane. To give you an idea, and I also want to blow up his spot. Like, I hate to break it to you, Madison Cawthorn, but in Sergey Lavrov's appraisal of Fox News and praise of Fox News, he actually lambasts Anglo-Saxon media. So for folks like yourself who like to go and visit Hitler's winter home as your bucket list activity, like these folks aren't united either. When people like Madison Cawthorn and others, when they invoke woke ideology, A, they're anti-freedom, because all this woke thing is their way to kind of find an angle to label and thus negate what people are doing earnestly for the benefit of humans, is to be like living free. And instead, he's advocating for an abolition of the American ideal of freedom of religion and implement a Christian nationalist state more similar to Russia than it is to what George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison and company I originally intended for the United States.
While claiming that, of course, that is what he's trying to do, but we're able to see through it. Yeah, by the way, it's not that Republican leadership hasn't been asked about Cawthorn's comments. Kevin McCarthy was asked and he said that it was wrong for him to say Zelensky's a thug, but adds that he supports Cawthorn's reelection, which I get. He's not gonna, you know, suddenly turn to a primary challenger over just one comment. I would remind you though, there has not just been one comment with Madison Cawthorn. He has spent the last 2 years effectively adding on to the horrific reputation he had going into elected office with just one take after take after take that is just like violently, and I mean that quite literally, opposed to core American values. But they don't have a problem with it. And so as Brett is right to point out that there is a differentiation, Ben Shapiro has even said that he disagrees with them. My question is, can that hold? Can there be a disagreement on these sorts of things? Or will one side or the other be bludgeoned into accepting the party line? We'll see. Candace Owens tweeted, "President Zelensky is a very bad character who is working with globalists against the interests of his own people. I will not move one inch away from that assessment ever, no matter how flowery the media depictions of him are." She means she won't move away, no matter how unreasonable she's being, how little she understands about the situation. She will never learn, she will never evolve, she will never get better. She was close there. But saying he's a bad character who's working with globalists, do we have to break down what she's saying there, the tropes that she's playing into? It'll become even more clear in a second. Benjamin Dixon, though, to his credit, reminds you that she had this to say about another world leader. If Hitler just wanted to make Germany great and have things run well, okay, fine. The problem is he had dreams outside of Germany. Again, that is not the only problem with Hitler, just to be clear. And by the way, like just to put a pin on the he's working with globalist thing, OAN said that the Russian bombing of maternity ward in Mariupol was a false flag, which you're free to believe whatever you want, but he says it would be a lot more convincing if Zelensky didn't have George Soros's hand up his back moving his mouth. And I cannot think of a more obviously anti-Semitic trope than that a wealthy international Jewish person is literally a puppet master for people in politics and media. So look, they're gonna claim that this invasion was justified because you gotta get rid of the Nazis, and they are pushing Nazi-esque tropes about Jewish cabals working internationally nonstop, Brett.
And this is a separation from Tucker Carlson, even. Like, that's the point. Even Republicans or far right wing figures think these right wing figures are psychotic. But there are so many of these psychotic figures that it really does create a template, at least, for a right wing psycho who really hates gays to side with Putin, who just invaded a country. Mm-hmm. Tucker Carlson said that the worst thing an American president has ever done is what Biden did in imposing sanctions on Russia. Now, the alternative to that is an invasion, and I'm sorry, that sucks, or placation or abdication of the entirety of Ukraine and just letting it happen, which is also weak, and that is another theme. But Tucker Carlson, in saying that, said the reason that this is the worst thing is because, quote, pretty much, quote, Joe Biden is working to undermine the global banking system. Mm-hmm. So Tucker Carlson is siding with, however you want to call him, the globalists in his own terms. And that's just, this reveals the amount of general vibe of liking Putin out there, contrasting with all these people who are pointing out the ridiculousness of doing that in much of their arguments, just shows you how all over the place the right is, but how stupid people who believe any and all piecemeal of this are to believe essentially completely contradictory theses on what's happening in Russia just because they want to feel somewhat contrarian.
Okay, let's see. Big Leb, member for 17 months on Twitch. Thank you. Skorrell's been here for 4 months. Thank you, Skorrell. Thank you for being with us. And Cindy Lou says, haven't seen a live TDR in weeks. Super excited to be here today. Love a Brett stream. Thank you for returning. We all need breaks sometimes. Sometimes work gets in the way, but we love when you come back to us. Okay. With that said, let's jump into this.
All we're hearing on the news is Ukraine. But yet here in America, what real Americans care about is gas prices they can't afford, inflation that goes up and up to where grocery bills are unaffordable, and they're very concerned about our out of control open border. Crime is out of control, but yet Washington is completely disconnected and seems to care more about sending our sons and daughters to a potential war where they do not belong. So I would like to urge my colleagues here in Congress, instead of working on a future COVID bill, spending billions of dollars on COVID that doesn't exist, let's care about our border and let's care about working to have energy independence to lower gas prices for Americans. Thank you.
So Marjorie Greene is free to be frustrated with the fact that one story is dominating the headlines. I frequently am. And if you believe that Congress should be able to walk and chew gum, that is perfectly fine. But again, she is not saying, let's help the people of Ukraine, let's take this seriously, and at the same time also address issues like inflation and gas prices. She is saying, let's turn now from this. I don't want to do anything for Ukraine. I don't want to help them. Let's turn to something else. And she is dead wrong about a lot of things there. Let's not gloss over the COVID doesn't exist comment she threw in at the end. But she is very much wrong about what the American people think. Is the situation in Ukraine the absolute most important issue to every American? Of course not, obviously. But they very much do not like what they're seeing. And she gets that her position is not shared by the vast majority of the American people, thus the desperation to get it out of the headlines. She doesn't, it is news, a news battleground that she does not feel fit to fight on because her values aren't shared by the American people. But anyway, like she put forward a bill to ban US funding of bioweapons in Ukraine. There have been a lot on the right that have jumped into this conspiracy theory about biolabs. She is now, I guess, the most out front on it because she's just declaring that we have been doing bioweapons and we should stop. You also have 8 Republicans who just yesterday voted against changing the trade relationship between the US and Russia. And again, I don't even have a super strong position on that exact change, but those names very much do. You see them voting in lockstep with each other on all of these positions. So this is not just a thing where their advocacy in comments and on social media has turned against Ukraine and is advancing Russian talking points about why the invasion was justified to the ability that they have in elected office to get things done or to try to be obstacles to progress. They are very much doing that. And they have formed a small but potentially growing block to do that, Brett.
It's an epic flail. It's not just an epic fail, it's an epic flail. You mentioned this earlier in the show today, but bear in mind that in the wake of the invasion of Ukraine, the Republicans had nothing to say. They had no idea what to do or how to characterize this. And that was this is the residue of that instinct to just talk about anything else. In the meantime, it took Tucker Carlson, the smartest person in the stupid room of right-wing media, it took him 3 weeks to come up with this weak-ass garbage. Yeah. It took him 3 weeks, and you can see it. He's like, I wasn't rooting for Putin. Yes, you were. Like, you were. It took this long, and he's tried five different messages along the way. And so this is exactly the gobbledygook, because along the way, when Marjorie Taylor Greene was pitching this bioweapons thing, the language in her presentation of it was like, well, I don't know if it's happening, but if it's happening, we should make it illegal and we shouldn't be there. And they're going to send your kids to war. That's not the position of the left. That's not the position of the Biden White House. It's like, we're doing everything. We're not engaging in a no-fly zone. We're doing sanctions so that we don't go to war.
Can I jump in for one sec?
Go for it.
Because you're 100% right, and then we'll return to you. There are some people who seem to be either hinting at the possibility of direct involvement. I would count some White House press reporters who do that. In terms of people who are openly calling for it, there are a few, way less than in like any past conflict in my time covering the news. But there are a few. You had John Kennedy. You have people like Sean Hannity. You have people like they exist. They're Republicans. Like they're, who on the left? AOC, Ilhan Omar, are they saying let's start sending Abrams tanks over the border? Nobody's saying that. If she has an issue with people advocating for our soldiers to go abroad, you got all those people on speed dial. You caucus with them. Why don't you go talk to your own side about the warmongering, Marjorie Greene?
Yep,
continue, sorry.
No, that's it. The entire right wing echo chamber and, you know, ecosphere is just like a 9-year-old babysitter of a 2-year-old, and they're playing peekaboo. It doesn't, as long as they go like, yeah, then the kids are like, ah, it's perfect, I love it. I don't know what's happening, but this seems to work. Combine that with like an underdeveloped sense of the world and no object permanence, everything feels new to them, everything feels entertaining to them. As long as they can cater to these base instincts that they have, they're fine, they're happy.
Yeah, I agree. But the flail, the epic flail is just a great description of it. You want an example in real time of an epic flail? More than 24 Senate Republicans demand Biden do more for Ukraine after voting against the $13.6 billion for Ukraine. And again, you don't have to support every specific, but when you keep saying he's got to do more, but you don't like the sanctions, he's got to do more, you don't like banning the fuel, he's got to do more, you don't like when he changes the trade relationships, he's got to do more, but you don't like when he sends the weapons. What do you want him to do? Do you have a single actual idea bouncing around inside of your dome? If you do, feel free to let us know what it is.
It's every note session I've had with a crappy producer. Not apologies this, don't notes. Do this, don't do this, but something like this, but not that, don't do that. There's a great Mitchell and Webb sketch you should watch called Not This. Exactly. It's exactly that. It's just like, well, then what do I want? What you want me to do is like, oh no, if I put my actual suggestions into effect and those happen, I might be held responsible for their success or failure. So I'm not.
Yeah.
I just need to criticize you. And Noam Chomsky even said that that is how the right wing has become a cult and basically shuffled off the spectrum and just become against democracy. So if you want a smart person saying those things, there's one.
Yeah. And look, I will close by saying we've criticized the fact that they don't know what they actually believe. They don't know, they're largely valueless, but how it applies to any of this. I think that we have been fairly clear. I do not want the US to get involved in a shooting war with a nuclear power. I don't want this to get any bigger than it needs to. I do believe that the Ukrainian people want to and deserve to defend their territory, and they deserve to have the best chance at succeeding against this absolutely barbaric invasion, both because that is their right as a sovereign country, but also because a vigorous defense, I believe, as a non-expert, is the best way to get us towards Putin being willing to withdraw, to forcing a diplomatic settlement. That is the best way to do that. And all of this is designed at every step, both on the ground right now and looking forward, to minimize loss of life. Ukrainian, anything wider, I don't want this war to become a worldwide thing. I don't want Russian soldiers to be dying. All of this should be working towards minimizing that. And I believe the path we're on is the best way to do that. Mojo Quid says, I just want them to make up their minds. Are Ukrainians woke or are Ukrainians Nazis? That's a great devastating point. He believes simultaneously the same, both things. Now, we're gonna take a short break. When we come back though, we are gonna check in on Vladimir Putin. He's apparently got some concerns of his own that he's acting out on. So we're checking on that and a lot of other stories after this. Vladimir Putin is apparently a little bit worried recently about his own personal security, though he is many, many miles away from the invasion that he started, the illegal invasion into Ukraine. He's apparently worried about retribution on a personal level. He apparently last month sacked 1,000 people, cooks, launderers, secretaries, bodyguards. They all catered to his daily personal and professional needs and replaced them with a new group of attendants. So that is obviously a drastic move. You have got to be incredibly worried about someone doing something to you to fire 1,000 people. But let's briefly pause for how do you need 1,000 people to attend to your daily and professional needs? I've seen Downton Abbey. I've watched Game of Thrones. I know that people have personal attendants. 1,000? I am fairly certain I have not met 1,000 people in my entire life. I don't need them to prep sandwiches and iron my underwear. That is just crazy. But this is a guy who seems very, very scared for a guy who legitimately does scare other people and presents himself as an alpha riding around bareback on or like bare shirt, chested on a horse. Take a look at these photos recently. This puts it in a new context, this 1,000 sacking thing. He sits super far away from people at meetings. And that honestly isn't even that bad. When you look at this next photo, you can barely make out the people in this gathering. He is terrified. I get it. We're all socially distancing. We're all worried about COVID. But they might as well be back in their offices. That is Zoom in real life for all the human attachment that you have. But anyway, Brett is apparently so worried that he's fired 1,000 people. To me, I would say if you fire 1,000 people and have to hire 1,000 more, how does that increase your security? How do you vet 1,000 strong personal staff?
You know, if there's one thing authoritarians can do, it's job creation. I mean, in Russia, they're hiring 1,000 new people. Yeah, they liquidated a bunch. In America, they're paying you $10,000 in this new job called ratting out people who have body autonomy. That's really fun. And I don't know, John, did you notice that first? Did you think the graphic 2 was the original photo?
Oh, okay, yes.
Because so this seems to be a memeified version of it, just to show that he's so paranoid that he has like a 20 cal or whatever.
Let's be very clear. That is not real. It looks at the size that I have these photos, it blends into the table. I didn't even see that. He did not have a machine gun pointed at them. Let's be very clear. The distance is real.
Anyway. But that's a real photo that has become iconic that really represents this. And it's so crazy how the boner that the right wing in America has for this guy, when he, as we see from his firing of 1,000 servants, just like Donald Trump, doesn't have any real friends. Mm-hmm. It's not real. None of this is real. No one actually likes, no one actually wants to work with. And you can see it when the look in Ted Cruz's face when he's phone banking for Trump. If he could get a chance to take him down, he would. Now, not with bullets or poison, though I'm sure the thought has crossed his mind. But that's what happens when you're a strong man or a purportedly strong man who actually knows exactly what people think of you.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, if I could provide some advice directly to Vladimir Putin, I know he watches the show. I think he super chats sometimes. Is this the life that you wanted? I understand that you have hundreds of billions of dollars or whatever that you can apparently now spend inside of Russia and nowhere else in the world. And you are constantly terrified of being assassinated by virtually everyone around you. You are potentially the most reviled human being on earth. Maybe Trump's still ahead of you. Was it worth it? All of this, decades of, you know, devastating your own country and participating in their persecution as a member of, you know, intelligence and taking over and stealing natural resources and now ruling in constant fear of even your closest allies. Why do this? Get the hell out of Ukraine. Actually, start running the country for the benefit of regular Russians. You will still be so rich that you will never be able to spend 1% of the money that you have, and you could be legitimately loved by your people. You could contribute to their prosperity and happiness, and you wouldn't have to worry about every bite of food, every sip of a liquid containing some sort of poison, because apparently that is what they're worried about. Someone working for France's General Directorate for External Security spoke to a reporter for the Daily Beast and said, Putin is of course aware someone is coming after him. Killing Putin is not an easy task, but Putin knows it can be done, and that's guaranteed to scare him. Scheduling is everything. Would-be assassins like to gather information, determine habits, correlate all of his backup options. They doubt he'll travel far by vehicle because there's no armored vehicle that can survive a few tons of explosives buried under the street. Anyway, they say one of the reasons he's probably so terrified of poisoning, that's one of the big reasons for the 1,000 people firing, is that he has personally poisoned so many people that he's got to see it in the shadows everywhere he looks because he's done the exact same thing.
And juxtapose this to Vladimir Zelensky, right? Who is under real threat of assassination from Vladimir Putin. And is still going to hospitals to visit people who, there's a video that's circulating of him visiting a teenager who risked her own life and ended up in the hospital saving her younger brother. Mm-hmm. So listen, and I say that, that's kind of the end of that through line, which people on the right and various other like intentionally contrarian schmucko pantses will say is some kind of propaganda messaging. And my response is, well, that's all that Putin does anyway. So I need to engage in that kind of discourse to refute your nonsense where Putin is this super strapping dope ass guy. And I need to communicate, like, if you want to talk about the actual facts are that Russia invaded Ukraine.
Yeah.
That's the only fact we need to focus on. That is the end, as I said on this show, like that is everything else is a distraction. And in the meantime, as Putin launches his propaganda war, I know that the, what's her name? Candace Owens, in trying to back up her like Ukraine wasn't a thing until 1992 statement, she said like, I don't know, yeah. She says that the people have fixate on these weird stories about him firing 1,000 people or not, or like roid raging and that's why he invaded it. It's like, that is fun for me to speculate on. And this is kind of a fun speculative story anyway, based on a report from inside the Putin Kremlin or whatever, but still like it tracks and yeah. It tracks with what I think of the guy based on his actions.
Yeah, there's so many on the right that look up to the sky. That's the life that they want. Who would want this life? How nice does your hardwood floor have to be? How nice does your fridge have to be to justify being afraid that every piece of food in it is poisoned? I don't know. I drive a Scion IQ. Maybe there are some cars that are really, really nice and it's worse constantly being terrified of being assassinated. I don't know. Anyway, with that, let's jump into something very different back here inside of the US with this video.
Hearings, they are expected to begin on Monday. Here to explain more, Missouri Republican Senator Josh Hawley. Senator, tell everybody what you found.
Well, what I found, Sean, is a pattern here of treating sex offenders leniently, those who have gone after children. And I think we just have a basic question to ask. Are we going to get a judge here who's going to protect children or who's going to protect child predators? It's a simple question. It's one I think that every parent in America would like answered, but it's one that the White House doesn't want to answer. And so far, Judge Jackson doesn't want to answer it. Total radio silence from her. And if you look at her record, what you see is this is someone who has consistently let sex predators, child sex predators, off the hook.
That's Josh Hawley, and you already know by now that the right basically has one smear now. It's all QAnon all the time. Every Democrat is a pedophile or is working to advance the interests of pedophiles. And that is apparently how Josh Hawley and Sean Hannity think they're gonna take down the nomination of Ketanji Brown Jackson to join the SCOTUS. Now, the Biden administration responds to this morning. Here is Jen Psaki.
Take the opportunity to clear that up. Not that most people have confusion about it, but in the vast majority of cases involving child sex crimes, the sentences Judge Jackson imposed were consistent with or above what the government or U.S. probation recommended. For example, there are arguments that have been made out there by Senator Hawley and others that where he took a snippet of a transcript out of context when in fact Judge Jackson was repeating something a witness said in order to ask a question about their testimony. So some who are accusing her of being, quote, soft on crime crime also failed to note that that what was omitted is a sentencing commission report that's been touted out there was unanimously supported by a bipartisan sentencing commission. And attempts to smear or discredit her history and her work are not borne out in facts.
Will the explosiveness of this line of attack, do you worry that it will affect your ability to win over other Republican votes?
Well, I'm not sure that someone who refused to tell people whether or not he would vote for Roy Moore is an effective.
Okay, so she says he's not an effective messenger against the candidate. And look, I'm not the biggest fan of Jen Psaki. I think that the Psaki bomb stuff is annoying, but that is a good response. Dude was fine with Roy Moore, and now he wants to pretend that he's just concerned about the kids. That's what it is. So look, she also pointed out the facts. It's not just that Josh Hawley went on Sean Hannity to attack Ketanji Brown Jackson, pretending that she's a pedophile, or defends them to activate the QAnon cultists in the right wing base. It's that he's also 100% wrong about the actual facts of the cases and decisions that he's referencing. Brett, what do you think?
If I were the judge in the Olympics of attacks on Supreme Court justice nominees, I would give this, like, the difficulty level is very low. This is the laziest move. This is the thing that, and I hate to be that guy, and it's people get mad at you for saying the word Russia. It's like saying you're mad because you said the sky's blue. Here's a fact. Like, this is what the Russians do. They always call someone a pedophile. It's almost hilarious. Like, it's always some weird deep fake Photoshop of that person's a pedophile. Oh my God, your enemies are all pedophiles. It is hilarious to me that they found a way. Like, it almost as a joke, you'd say they'd call Ketanji Brown Jackson a pedophile. But they did. They found a way to call her a pedophile. It's like, you know, when you see something, you see a video online and you count down like how many comments in the YouTube comment section before a racist one happens. It's just like, how many comments before someone on the right calls Ketanji Brown Jackson, calls anything a pedophile? And the answer is Josh Hawley. It's always Josh Hawley, which is hilarious because the next person on Hannity's show is probably someone like, I don't know, Jim Jordan.
Yep.
Who like has actual tangible evidence of being related to a freaking child pedophilia sexual assault
not
accusation.
Not protecting the kid. Yeah.
Not protecting. They don't protect the kids. They don't.
Yeah.
It's so bad. It's so lazy. It's so Josh Hawley.
Josh Hawley, do you have anything to say about Matt Gaetz? Do you have any thoughts about Matt? No, you don't? Mm-hmm. See, that's the thing. We are citing very specific things. What I am not asserting and would not is everyone who disagrees with me, every Republican is a pedophile, because that is lazy and obviously untrue. It's beneath the limited amount of, even the limited amount of dignity that remains in American politics. But on the right, that is their tactic. And it is explicit. We're gonna get to it because it apparently works. Like, to jump ahead, Laura Ingraham, this is very recent. I think we talked about this last week. Lower third on her show, liberals are sexually grooming elementary students. That was in a discussion about Ron DeSantis and the Don't Say Gay bill. Just all liberals, all of them, not even just the elected ones. All liberals are grooming kids. Jesse Kelly, he tweeted, call them groomers and pedophiles if they oppose it, talking about that bill. Put them on the defensive, make them afraid, make them avoid talking about it. You have the high ground, use it to destroy your enemy. And I will say, as I said when we initially covered this, if you are declaring all of your opponents pedophiles, you may have some ground, but it ain't the high ground that you're on. Certainly not the moral high ground there. But that's what they're doing. It is, we know that our base is very low information. Why wouldn't they be? They get all of their news from Fox News. They have no idea what's going on. They're not familiar with people living a different sort of life than their own. We have convinced them via QAnon that everyone that they don't like is horrendous. They are at the very least sleeping with kids, possibly killing and eating kids too. That is literally what they say. And so now, if that's the thing that gets your base fired up, you are gonna tie it to literally every issue. And that's what they're doing now, and it's disgusting.
And the final piece of this puzzle is it's because they have zero legislation that can help anyone. They have no legislative agenda on what to do with their power in government once they get it, if they get it, to actually benefit people in any tangible way. Yeah. Who would have thought that the people whose job is to cater to a bastardized message of Christianity, something that is not in keeping with the actual Bible, would also try to use cultural, you know, tangentially related cultural issues as an opiate of the masses because they have no actual nutritional value in any of the things they propose.
100%. Anyway, I don't think it's gonna work. It's not to say that Ketanji Brown Jackson is definitely gonna get out of the court or anything like this, but I don't think that this is the thing that's gonna sink her. And I don't think that the White House is all too worried about whether Josh Hawley is gonna support their nominee or not. Anyway, with that said, we're going to take another break. When we come back, Eric Trump, again, it's more QAnon, openly embracing them, being celebrated by the QAnon movement, and more. That's after this.
Look at this, hold it up.
That's amazing.
Wow. Look at that.
So there is a video of Eric Trump excited to have this painting presented to him amidst rousing music and cheers, a portrait of his father, himself, and Don Jr., a flag, an eagle, and a massive Q, almost like the bat symbol being projected in the air, a massive Q, because if you didn't know, he's at a gathering of absolute crazies with a Q at the beginning of it. This is the experienced Clay Clark's Reawaken America tour, which is sold out, I hear. Isn't that a delight? They get together the craziest people in the country, and it apparently is doing quite well. You can go there to see Eric Trump, Michael Flynn, the sentient pillow guy, the crazy doctor who talked about demon semen, Sidney Powell, and whatever else they can scrape from the literal bottom of the moldy barrel. But let's pause for a second, Brett. In the video that you just saw, he knows that the Q is there. He knows what QAnon is. He throws his fist up into the air, excited to get that painting.
Listen, he's excited he got invited to frickin' anything. This guy is such a use, like I'm doing a video about this on Rebel HQ, it's coming probably out this weekend. But like, you gotta be pretty dumb to be considered the dumb Trump. Like he's an afterthought in this painting. He's just this random person. Like the guy who says he painted it himself. Yeah, he definitely did paint it himself. I don't think you like got
not
that.
Not a bad painting.
It's so I love this genre, which is like someone with actual talent, but it's like this Reddit thread subreddit called awful taste but great execution. Yeah. That's it.
They know what they're doing. It's just like they have no attachment to reality.
And this is hilarious. This is the same stuff that like there was a video that the Damage Report really wanted to play, and I was the party pooper who didn't let them play him. There's an Idaho politician who was asked like, would you have gone to the Nick Fuentes event if you knew that he was a total Nazi and everything? And she's like, I don't want to answer that. And the reason she doesn't want to answer that, she literally walks away, is because she knows that if she tells the truth, that QAnon, Nazis, all these people are bad, she's going to alienate a vital part of her audience and voting bloc that she absolutely needs.
Exactly, she gets that. But let's return to one of your earlier points. You pointed out that Eric Trump was the dumb one. I want to demonstrate that. We've got the receipts. Here's a bit from the event.
Is anybody watching this little mess that's happening overseas? Is anybody watching this mess? Let me ask you a question. Does anybody actually believe this would have happened under Donald Trump? It's so embarrassing, guys. It is so damn embarrassing. And California, I'm so mad at you. I am so mad at California. I am so mad at everybody in California. Guys, I love this state so much, but what are you doing with politicians? You know, it's funny. I heard somebody backstage say that California is not blue, it's corrupt. This is unbelievable, the amount of love in California. But how did you give us Kamala Harris? Please tell me how. And what about Nancy Pelosi? But where she wants to buy a house is literally 1 mile away from my house. I'm sitting there saying, so you ruined California. You have the highest taxes in the world, crime, homelessness, and all the cities. And now you want to move to beautiful, perfect Florida that has no homelessness, that has no crime, that has the lowest tax in the nation. You can't do it. Nancy, stay away. Stay away.
Okay, so we feel the need to rebut every false fact we hear. It's going to be impossible because he said 1,000 things and each one was less accurate than the one before. The her buying a house story had already been debunked before he said it. It wasn't true. He goes on to talk about them trying to rename Camp Pendleton in California. That's not what the story is actually about. It's about some other Pendleton. It has nothing to do with Nancy Pelosi. He doesn't have any idea what he is talking about. But specifically, he made claims comparing California and Florida. We'll return to those in just a second, though. I do want to acknowledge, as people have in the chat, that it is, I think, hilarious that They have fought against wokeness. Stop woke, stop being woke, all of that. But their tour is Reawaken America. It's like you really want the woke thing, but you got to string it out because of the connotations. Anyway, you can see Eric Trump there. You can see others, people who have been seen on Bloomberg and Forbes and Pando Daily and Yahoo and all that. They're not specific there about where you would have seen them on those sites. For instance, on Business Insider, you can see Mike Lindell, but it's about stories like this. A judge has rejected his appeal to dismiss a $1.3 billion lawsuit against him. I guess he appeared in Business Insider, not in a positive sense. But anyway, Brett, maybe you want to talk about some of the factual claims that were made there.
Yes, Florida has the number three highest homeless population of any state in America. It is the 22nd most safe state behind, like, literally, like, New Jersey is up in the top. Most of the safest states are actually blue states. And then in terms of overall tax burden, Florida has a higher tax burden than Delaware, where Joe Biden is from. It is number six, didn't cross its way into the top five. But if you break down where I get the tax burden, like, how is the tax burden so high when they have no personal income tax in that state? Well, let me tell you, their sales tax there is 40% higher than it is in California. And as we all know, sales taxes are a regressive tax. So the higher your sale tax, the more your state hates poor people.
100%, the taxes are there. But for the sort of people that Eric Trump spends time with, they get a little bit less taxation. Again, this is not like I have no more interest in, you know, demonizing Florida than in seeing him demonize California. There is corruption in both of those places. You know why? Because America is a fundamentally corrupt place. That's what we've been fighting against for a very long time. He's invoking the idea of being opposed to corruption when he is and has been involved in both political and economic corruption for literally decades. That's all his family does. So get the F out of here with that argument. But anyway, just seeing the son of a president openly going to conspiracy theory conferences, like, what if Chelsea Clinton, what if Malia Obama was at like a flat earther society thing? Like, imagine if Sasha Obama went to a birds ain't real rally, what the right would do with that.
I feel like Malia Obama went to a fish concert and was smoked a doobie at a fish concert. And they were like, oh my God, she's evil. Like, her dad did a fist bump and was a terrorist. Like, come on now. It's just a wildly different burden of proof on them. And I will say that, like, he talks about how safe and awesome and much like a paradise Florida is. Well, it's like the Garden of Eden because there's a bunch of snakes. But definitely, like, in terms of being safe, no, Nancy Pelosi is not moving to Florida, but you know who lives there? Florida man. And he's like eating people's faces. It's like if the Garden of Eden served bath salts instead of apples.
Armed liberal, super chatted, John, father of dragons, first of his name is House Iderola. Tell Brett I said hi. If I remember, I'll let him know.
I'm here, John.
Oh, that's true.
That's your joke's true premise. That's an unfair thing we do to John a lot. Like, he'll make a joke and then we'll pretend we didn't get the premise of it. And it really hurts him. And I'm here to apologize on behalf of most people.
You're very sorry. I'm sure you're very, very sorry. Currently, there are a number of different medications made available, being provided by the US government with whatever COVID-related funding is still there, that is intended to stop you from developing severe cases of COVID. The issue is, for a number of different reasons that we're gonna dive into, the vast majority are not actually being used. Even as case counts remain high and deaths remain tragically high, well over 1,000 people still dying of COVID every day, there is medication literally going to waste on shelves, expiring, not being used for reasons we're gonna jump into. So initially, some treatments, really effective and also in some cases expensive treatments, like monoclonal antibodies, those supplies were tight, creating the perception that only the rich and the powerful had access. No, others had access, not necessarily the ability to afford it, but they were there. States, hospitals, and health providers ordered the treatment directly from manufacturers, which did stress the supply chain at that time. But back in September, the US government bought up all supplies and started to make it available based on case and usage counts in different states. But how is that actually going? When you look at different medications, you take a look at this chart. The dark green bar there is the percentage of the supply that's been made available to them that they're actually requesting. That's as high as 90% for some treatments, down to 50% on others. But the amount that have actually been used is even lower than that. In some cases, you're talking a couple percentage points of the available supply actually being used. And the highest you have there is at 40%. These are all treatments that, in a variety of different uses for people at different points in their tragic COVID journey, could make the disease not nearly as bad. Avoid stays in the hospital, avoid ventilators, avoid deaths. But a lot are just sitting in refrigerated storage or sitting on shelves, not being used for a variety of different reasons. We'll get into some more of the specifics in a sec, Brett, but what do you think about this?
Any discussion of monoclonal antibodies, any discussion of various pharmaceutical approaches to curing disease or treating disease or preventing disease always comes back to the wildly randomized, you try to go for randomized clinical trials, but it's more of a randomized loyalty association that the right wing has with all of this. Like, pharmaceutical companies are bad, so we should take ivermectin. That's stupid. Ivermectin is made by a pharmaceutical company. We should go for monoclonal antibodies, but not really. That's just, they need to have a card that's like, I don't really mean this. This is just something I say in the meantime because I need to feel smarter than you. Yep. And then they call people who actually do their research and read up on stuff elitist. And then because they saw some random like Facebook meme with no serifs on it, they think that's them doing research.
Yeah. Well, look, I think a lot of people are going to greet this news if you even hear about it at all. And look, NPR did some good reporting on this. It's obviously not a thing that a lot of people are going to see, especially because people don't necessarily want to acknowledge right now, as cases seem to be going down, that we might still have some issues. But we do, and we can't simply stick our head in the sand. What are some reasons for this? Well, there are a number of reasons why some of this medication might not be used. While the product is free, there may be administrative fees. So cost is a reason. The cost of infusion and injection administration is covered by Medicare and Medicaid, but not by some of the large commercial health insurance plans. So patients may be responsible for co-pays and deductibles, and all of that isn't necessarily super cheap. There is also, according to Dr. Amesh Adalja, is a lack of awareness from patients and providers about how to use these appropriately. For instance, COVID pills must be given within 5 days of symptom onset and can be complicated to prescribe. Paxlovid can interfere with commonly taken medications, and there's other issues as well. So some people might not be able to afford it. Some people might not think that they actually have access to it. Some might, in theory, have access to it, but have problems with doctors prescribing it or prescribing it quickly enough, especially as our testing capacity continues to drop. People might only find out about the severity of their illness, take it seriously, and go to doctors at a point where it might already be too late for some of these treatments to actually help. And that is why, from floor to ceiling, we do still need to take this seriously, especially in terms of testing. We have way more capacity now to save people's lives and avoid costly, expensive, and dire hospital stays, but only if we understand the threat and identify it quickly. Anyway, unfortunately, I wish we had more time to discuss that. We are out of time in our first hour. So if you're on the podcast, the linear platform, thank you so much for watching. We really appreciate your support. But if you're on the members app or on Twitch or on YouTube, do not go anywhere. Brett and I are going to take it just a quick couple minute break. But when we come back, we got a couple of exciting stories to talk about, as well as our garbage people of the week and yours. And we'll have that for you after this.
That's Brett's favorite story.
I know, we saved it for you specifically. Anyway, thank you everybody for being here. Peril the Polar Bear Dragon sent in a super chat to say, interesting numerology coincidence. I can't make out all of that, but it is something about numbers having to do with World War I, II, and III. Okay. Maybe one of those Trumpers at the rally can work out the numerology of that. Just a Girl says, a longtime fan, thank you for helping me through the past 6 crazy years. I love TYT. I appreciate your pointing out the crazy. Thank you. We identify and push it out there rather than just letting it dwell inside of us.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.